even a small community like Sea Lake has lots of jurisdictions. Sea Lake has 60 organizations, small government, 8-10 county authorities, state government operations, federal forest service operation, lots of landowner associations, 14, 8 churches. So there's 60 organizations. So being able to collect money and resources, being able to convene the community on ad hoc basis to support a project, and be able to generate leadership really expresses the power of the community foundation.
You know, we in Montana, we're independent-minded. We like to do our own thing, and we know what's right for our own communities. So we get to work for the good of our community, but as community foundations, we're working together to share resources so that we can do our jobs better. You know, somebody in Whitefish might be doing a great seminar on estate planning. They can share that resource with me. I know that there are other communities that are interested in doing Willapalooza, so we can share resources, we can partner on projects like we're doing with the Sealy Lake Community Foundation and the Norman McLean Trail. So we're independent, but we're also connected.
Maybe you've heard of community foundations, but do you know what they are? What they do, how they impact your particular town? No? Well, stick around. You're about to find out about a Dragon Boat Festival, free skis for kids, a wood stove changeout project, Willapalooza, a trail that will connect Sealy Lake with Missoula, and a whole lot more. I'm Cherie Newman, really excited to share with you what I've learned about community foundations. Here's the nutshell version of their mission: to support philanthropy in the communities they serve by connecting local donors with the charitable causes they care about most, and to facilitate the power of giving together so individual Montanans can make a lasting difference in the communities they love. There are dozens of community foundations in Montana, and during this program we'll hear from executive directors and board members from three of them: Sealy Lake, Missoula, and Kalispell. Let's start in Kalispell, where Lucy Smith is executive director of the Flathead Community Foundation. FCF's motto is, "You make the difference, we make it happen." And some Kalispell residents know how to make those things happen with pizzazz.
Something that we have done in the Flathead Community Foundation that I find very exciting is we have helped to be an advisor and a kind of a partial matching sponsor for the first women's giving circle in Kalispell. And we're seeing this as the first of many that could be around the Flathead Valley. And it is a gathering of women once a month. We call ourselves WWWK. I say W.K. It's Women Who Wine in Kalispell, and it's W-I-N-E. We have no winers. Mm-hmm. And what we do is bring a bottle of wine and $30 to a gathering, and a designated hostess decides where and also decides who will be the beneficiary of those donations. Everyone has a glass of wine if she wants to, and the rest of the wine is auctioned off, and that money goes to the fund, to what we've raised that evening. There's a different beneficiary every month, and the Community Foundation stepped up and said, we would like to help you develop that fund, and we will match. Every time you raise $750, we'll put it up to the $1,000. And we'll also help you to vet the nonprofits, and we'll take care of all your accounting and, again, you know, be that service to donors. This has given individual women of every level of financial means to become a philanthropist. And we had one woman who just brings tears to my eyes. She came to our second session, and she said, my husband and I are recently retired. We're educators. We have modest means. You know, we're comfortable, but I've always dreamed that I would love to be a philanthropist. And she said, and now I am, because for $30 a month and a bottle of wine, I am helping 12 nonprofits every single year, and I am a philanthropist. The other thing that has happened with this particular organization of women is that we network with each other. So there's lots of this woman-to-woman help, all different ages. There are about 30 women who come all the time. Getting us to be more familiar with the different nonprofits that we have in our community, because there are over 300 in the Flathead. I'm sure that there are even more in some of the other towns here. But there are some amazing things that are happening with our nonprofit community. And so to be able to learn more about them and, again, connect donors with nonprofits that may really pull on their hearts, and also maybe be resources in terms of volunteers or other ways that they can be helpful. It's just really lifted everyone up. And we actually bring in that month's beneficiary to make a presentation. So it's a great chance for them to increase their audience as well. So that Women's Giving Circle is something that we're very proud of. And what we've decided is, as a community foundation, is that maybe once a year we could help establish another, and we could help with some of the matching funds for that new organization. Because once they take off, I think it's going to have its own momentum. Something else that the Flathead Community Foundation is doing that is a lot of fun, it's pretty wild, is being the title sponsor of the Montana Dragon Boat Festival. We were the title sponsor for the inaugural event, which was just in 2012. And that was a way for us to partner with the economy of our town, with our Convention and Visitors Bureau, and with the local business environment that was going to be helping with sponsorships to make this event happen. The purpose of the Dragon Boat Festival is really to bring in out-of-market business for the Flathead, and it's the Convention and Visitors Bureau's event. When I heard about it, I thought, and the board of the Community Foundation agreed, that it would be an excellent way for the Flathead Community Foundation to get our name out there, because they had great marketing going on, and also to leverage the event as a fundraising opportunity for the nonprofits. And so we became kind of the nonprofit go-to, and then there was also the competitive part of the Dragon Boat Festival that brought teams from out of state. It's been a great team-building opportunity for nonprofits and businesses, and it has been a great opportunity for nonprofits that wanted to get after it to raise money. And they've just done it by pledges for paddlers. What we discovered was that some nonprofits wanted to do this and had volunteers and they had everything but the money to purchase the boat. So the Flathead Community Foundation sponsored 3 boats the first year, called ourselves the Triple Threat, and we sold seats on the boat. And so your nonprofit doesn't have to have 20 people, it can have one raising money, and it all works the same. What that did was it mixed up a bunch of different nonprofits in the same boat, and we realized that we're all pulling in the same direction, and the metaphors were just endless. The next year, we had 4 boats, so quadruple threat didn't sound quite right, so we called ourselves the Major Threat. That way, however many boats we have, we can always be major. This year, we have 5 boats. The first year, the nonprofit organizations that participated raised about $75,000. The Flathead Community Foundation's local fund to give out grants is not that large yet. And so we were really pleased that by being the title sponsor, it helped us get out to know the community. It made us partners with other businesses. We helped the Convention and Visitors Bureau as organizers and team members. And we provided a great event that nonprofits could jump in, again, at any level and just make some good profits for themselves. Another thing that the Dragon Boat Festival has is the Rose Ceremony. And that is specifically to honor families and members of the community who have suffered with breast cancer or any kind of cancer. And what this becomes is a very sweet ceremony and very, heartful. But it also becomes a celebration with numbers of women and men who are just celebrating those who have come back to better health, those who are working toward making things better. And there were probably 5 pink teams that just were a wonderful inspiration to many of us. And often we had someone who's had brought in a sister or a best friend from out of town to participate in the Rose Ceremony. And that's done because when you look at recovery after breast cancer surgery, rowing and anything that uses that kind of motion is one of the best physical therapy kind of methods for getting stronger. And so the Dragon Boat Festivals almost always have a beneficiary that's related to breast cancer. Last year there were 93 teams, and this year we will have a minimum of 100 teams. If you think about what the impact is to the Flathead Valley, the first year, the monies that were exchanged with hotels and with travel and with restaurants and with shops was $775,000. So again, being part of helping that be successful was a really big thing for the Community Foundation. We felt great about doing that. And then last year, it was $2.24 million. Yeah. The first year, there were 4,000 people there, competitors and spectators. And last year, the second day rained out. So it wasn't even able to finish, and there were still 8,000 people there. And it is very, very fun. There's no question. So I would invite anyone who wants to do something that is way too much fun for grown-ups to come and be part of the Montana Dragon Boat Festival this year.
You'll find information about the Dragon Boat Festival at flatheadcommunityfoundation.org.
One of our founding directors and fund holders, when she and her three siblings were grown, graduated from college and they had families and they were all healthy and everyone was doing well, her parents called them together to talk about their estate plan that they had made. And they wanted to let the children know that this was their plan, that they had divided their estate into five. And they said, there will be one portion for each of our children and a fifth one for our community. That fifth one that is for our community represents all of those living here who have needs that maybe they don't have a parent to help them meet them. And it's our way to honor this place that we love. And we're going to give our money to the Community Foundation because we know that they will be good stewards of our fund. And that years from now, when we aren't here to choose, the Community Foundation will have people who care about their community in the same way as we do who will make those decisions. So this founder said, I call that fifth child in their estate plan charity. And I now want to establish a fund that will carry on that legacy in my community. And we think about our communities and we think about why it is that we live here. Why do we stay here? Why do we come back to this place? What is it about it? And that's what we want to be able to maintain. We want to plan for. We want to somehow be generously contributing toward. You know, it's so that everything that I love and that really holds me and my family about this community is a gift that I can help leave for the next generation. And to many of our fundholders, it's really very reassuring to know that there will be people just like us who really care, who are going to be seeing that our generosity goes to places that really need it and that will help the community to thrive. Community foundations make it easy for anyone to be philanthropic, whether you have a small amount of money, you have some stock, you have some land, or you actually have some real wealth that you want to distribute. You don't have to be familiar in great detail with the accounting practices and the legal and tax implications of being charitable. The Community Foundation can do that for you. And that is our service to donors. We connect donors with the charitable intentions that matter the most to them. And we make it very, very easy for them to achieve their philanthropic goals. Endowment funds are something that will make such a difference for Montana's communities and Montana's nonprofit organizations. There is always, in our small towns, that immediate need for operating cash. And so many nonprofits really struggle just from one fundraiser to the next so that they can pay the bills, so that they can perform their services. And if we as community foundations can encourage donors to contribute to local agencies' endowment funds at our community foundations, we can help them grow that savings account that is going to be generating wealth for them. And, you know, one fine year, they are going to have a larger and larger fund that is going to be giving them some of this operating support. And my dream is always to think, what if we could endow every important nonprofit organization in Montana so that what these organizations could be spending their time on is their mission, doing those important things that they're doing to take care of their community and not wondering how much they could charge at the next spaghetti dinner and what their costs are going to be. You know, just imagine when we could do that. And I think for organizations that are really trying to let the community know that they plan to be here forever, setting up an endowment fund with a local community foundation is a great signal. It's also a great way to have a larger audience of donors, because people will come to the community foundation to see what is happening with us and who does have a fund. And that's going to be one of the places that they'll probably make a donation. I just think what a day that will be, because we just know it's going to happen.
Stan Nichols, a board member with the Seeley Lake Community Foundation, agrees that endowments are critical to nonprofit organizations. And he credits one gift in particular with the Seeley Lake Foundation's financial health.
One of the things that I found that is really important to foundation work is that it can be very creative. It isn't sort of all set in stone. And I'll give you an example. When we first started in Sea Lake, Kevin Weatherall, who owns the largest real estate operation in the valley, came to the community foundation and said, we'd like to give his family and his company, would like to give 100 acres of land to the foundation. Can you accept it? And we called up our host, the Montana Community Foundation, and said, can you help us sell it, and should we accept it, or is this something we shouldn't try? The Montana Community Foundation said they had other priorities and they didn't want to get involved in something as detailed as that, so they wouldn't accept it. Our board received that news and said, well, we'll sell it. And so we accepted it. 2 years later, we sold it for $100,000, and that was the sort of the beginning of the endowment. Community foundations also have an advantage in that they're, since they're 501c3 charitable organizations, donors can make gifts to the foundation and get a considerable tax advantage, either as an itemized deduction or as a tax credit. So it has the potential for gathering resources for the community, as opposed to gathering resources for a specific project or cause. So there's great potential for community foundations just because the board members embodied a lot of local knowledge. Convening allows a definition of the project and community participation. And developing a resource that's growing because it's gathered and then grown and then granted and generating leadership. So those four G's are sort of benchmarks for what community foundations can do, and it just happens that Sea Lake has done it beautifully.
We'll hear more about the Sealy Lake Community Foundation from Stan Nichols when we return, and board member Lee Bowman will talk about how the town came together to build a new playground and the foundation's Nordic ski and wood stove changeout projects. We'll also hear about the Norman McLean Trail. Stay tuned.
Sea Lake Community Foundation was founded in December of 1999, and we began by starting to raise some money from volunteers in the community, and it took 2 or 3 years before we had significant money. But we were able to start the small grant project, and we wrote up the application form, and we put an ad in the newspaper saying that nonprofit organizations in the community and local government agencies could apply for grants. And we were prepared to give away $10,000. And the first, we got three requests. I think they added up to $3,000, $4,000. And then so we ran the ad again. And by the end of the year, we'd given away maybe $8,000. So we said, well, let's see now. Maybe we haven't really gotten the word out. So we sent letters and application forms to everyone we thought might be eligible, and then advertised them again, and this time we got $19,000 worth of requests. One of the board members called me up and said, Stan, now what do we do? I said, Lauren, yesterday we didn't know whether we were needed. Now we do. We go raise more money. And that's what we did. And the other thing that leads into the big projects was the concept of leadership. And that's one of the characteristics of a community foundation that offers real potential for exciting work. Community foundations can be sort of nonpartisan, which is kind of important in a small community, probably important in a large one too, but definitely in a small one. So it's able to convene groups of people. It's able to coax different organizations to work together, to have impact. But it's not obvious that a community foundation is going to have impact, because it's very easy to collect money and stay at the small grant level. But unless the community foundation exploits its special advantage, nonprofit, nonpartisan, convening power, to sort of envisage important steps in the community, a foundation can still not realize its potential. So realizing that potential of leadership is really exciting.
Board member Lee Bowman is one of those leaders in Seeley Lake, and he's been involved with many of the foundation's top projects during the past few years.
Well, our top projects, both currently and historically, are the playground that was built at the elementary school, the expansion of Nordic opportunities in Seeley Lake, and the wood stove changeout, which is about 95% complete as we speak. Those projects are our top projects because each of them was embraced by the community and really became a community project that was triggered by the Seeley Lake Community Foundation. But that fact isn't important. What's really important is they became community projects. The playground was a great example of that. People took their vacation time to work on the playground. People that volunteered to work on the playground were very diverse. We had, of course, we had some expertise from contractors and those in the construction trades, but we had school teachers and waitresses and accountants and bus drivers, and they all volunteered their time. They worked together side by side. We had people that learned to run power tools and worked together. And yes, it created a really nice playground. But what made it a top project is it brought people together that didn't often cross paths. Similar with the Nordic opportunities in Seeley Lake, Montana, blessed with some incredible terrain similar to the Nordic countries in Europe, lots of snow. Our ski trails were designed by a former Olympian, Doug Elliott. So the skiing is really great, and we realized that kids aren't skiing, so the Seeley Lake Community Foundation triggered a feasibility study that pointed out that, yes, Seeley Lake, Montana can become a compelling regional destination for Nordic skiing. And the foundation helped launch an effort to get kids on skis. First year, we thought was a very ambitious goal, was to get 23 pair of skis for our fourth graders and teach them how to ski and get a trail for them. And that was actually just 3 years ago, and today we have over 120 pair of skis, and most of the students at Seeley Lake Elementary ski, and we have certified teachers, and it's only a matter of time until one of our students will be an Olympian. They're just doing great. The first year we did it, I remember one fourth grader. He was very withdrawn. I had a chance to talk to the class about Nordic skiing, and he was very quiet, very withdrawn, did not express any interest, did not express anything. And after the teacher had briefed me on his home situation, I understood why he was withdrawn, and he was somebody that didn't have every advantage in life. And now he's a seventh grader, and last year he was in my group, and I got to talk to him a little bit, and he was skiing faster than I was. And this year he says hi to me and always anxious to tell me how many kilometers he skied and how fast he did it. And I'm pretty sure that that's a pretty common occurrence with a lot of the kids. It's pretty unusual for a seventh grade person to feel comfortable talking to someone old like myself on the ski trails, especially when in fourth grade, he wouldn't dare look at you. So it's been socially very advantageous for our community. The stove changeout program was also very interesting because where there were inefficient wood-burning stoves, that segment of the population, historically, everybody believed was reluctant to change. But again, the community came together and saw the benefit of replacing inefficient wood-burning stoves with more efficient stoves. Indeed, the new stoves use one-third less wood to heat homes than the previous stoves. And so we took what was a black eye on our community in the winter during inversions. Our air quality was not good. Now, with over 140-some-odd stoves burning one-third less wood, that seems to be much better. Of course, it depends on the weather. And the community came together, and now everyone's proud of our air and pleased that we worked together to improve the quality of our air.
One of the things that community foundations can do is they can work with a lot of different organizations, including local governments. For Sea Lake, the most important local government unit is the county of Missoula. The county came to Sea Lake Community Foundation 3-4 years ago saying there's a possibility of having a feasibility study for your winter sports activities, a ski trail. We have $15,000 if you can raise 10. Local volunteers raised 5, and the Sea Lake Community Foundation matched it within a week. Contract was written, feasibility studies was presented, since had a business plan developed by people at the University of Montana Business School, and the project has commitments of many $100,000.
I think what inspires me about working with the Sea Lake Community Foundation as a volunteer is assistance is provided directly in a timely manner to a wide variety of causes. We've talked about some of our top projects, some of our big projects, but we also provide grants to take care of smaller needs. Might be something as small as the Senior Citizen Center needing a new salad bar, or it might be an organization needing supplies for their students. And I guess what keeps me going is the results are apparent. You can see a difference. People thank you. People thank the foundation. You can see a positive difference as a result of our work.
I think of the story that is most inspiring from my work in the community foundations is how the board members carry on their work and what they think about it. It's very easy to get on a board, and I've been on lots of boards, where you can get uninspired and sort of dragging along at a low level and then just wait for your term to end. The board members at Sea Lake are excited about their work. They like to come to the meetings. The meetings are designed to discuss things that are maybe far-fetched. For example, buying water rights for the community has come up from time to time and how we might do that. Taking on the air pollution problem is a good example. Starts out with a $2,500 grant and it ends up being a $400,000 community activity. So board members realize that there's impact and what they're doing and thinking about is important. And so they enjoy it. They want to do that. They also want to go to the meetings and enjoy the fun of raising money. But what they really like to do is imagine the future of Sea Lake.
The future of Sealy Lake now includes the Norman McLean Trail, which they are working on with the Missoula Community Foundation.
The trail, as I remember the beginning discussions, began about 3 years ago. I haven't been able to hike for the last 3 or 4 years, but I remembered always hiking north up into the Bob and in the missions, and never hiking between Missoula and City Lake, and wondering why I didn't do that. And then reading a reference to Norman McLean, who said he did it with his brother Paul back in the 1920s. So I put the two ideas together, wonderful hiking opportunities from City Lake, and why don't we use that wonderful piece of land, that area between City Lake and Missoula. I think Norman McLean described that hike as an overnighter. I think it's not going to be an overnighter for very many people unless they're on a bicycle, but it's 30 to 40 miles, and there was a history of being used, that trail was being used. And so the potential for connecting our small community of City Lake and central community of Missoula had a certain appeal to it. I'll let others talk more about the details, but it was an idea that the Missoula Community Foundation liked. It was a way to serve beyond the municipal boundaries of Missoula and connect the energy of two communities in a positive way. So in that sense, it's unique in the Montana Community Foundation world, and one can imagine other possible community collaborations.
Meredith Prince, executive director of the Missoula Community Foundation, recalls how that trail collaboration began.
I remember when Stan called me on the phone to ask if we were interested in participating in the trail, and took it back to my board, and they were very excited about the opportunity to work together, and it's been a really fun partnership, not just with the City Lake Community Foundation, but with other individuals and business people that are involved. It's definitely a team effort, and we've been scouting for the last 2 summers now, and finally at the end of last year, we came up with a proposed route. There's so many potential places to go. It's hard to choose, but we finally did, and we are working to build support of the landowners, primary landowners being the Forest Service and Plum Creek, and we do have a letter of support from the Forest Service, which is great. And now we're working with Plum Creek to try to make this a permanent trail. At this point, they have allowed us access to their lands as part of their open lands policy, which allows people to cross their lands. But we would like to try to make this a permanent trail. If you're interested in getting involved, then contact me at the Missoula Community Foundation. We will need people who have maybe already been out in the area and have taken photographs, GPS points, any reports that they might have about the area. So, you know, I would want to sit down with them and we can look at a map together and they can point at areas they've been or, again, submit photos. I don't think we'll probably need any more scouting this summer. We might need a little bit of limited scouting, so we might have some needs for that. We'll be promoting the trail. So anybody that has marketing, media, graphic design, writing skills, we'll be applying for grants, so grant writing skills. So there'll be in-office skills needed as well as people, you know, wanting to get on the ground. And then once the trail is up and running, we'll definitely need people to do a lot of maintenance. We want to make sure that the trail is maintained and that it's as free of noxious weeds as possible and trash. And so we'll want to make sure to help the Forest Service because they've got so much to do already, so to try to supplement what they are already doing, and also, you know, protecting the Plum Creek land and respecting that access. So there's a lot of different things that can be done, both inside and outside. Trail could be open as early as this summer, and if we get all of our agreements in place with the landowners, because as I said, there isn't a lot of building or a lot of maintenance that we'll need to do. It could take longer if those agreements take longer. So it's hard to say.
The Missoula Community Foundation's public debut didn't really go off as planned. Dale Wolheiser, who is the current board president, explains what happened with their launch party.
Interestingly enough, the Missoula Community Foundation got off to a horrific start. Our coming out party in Missoula, Montana, was scheduled for September 15th of 2001. Well, obviously, that was 4 days after the disaster in New York. And what we did at that point in time, and I would have to credit many, 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 many people in Missoula for being nimble enough to change a huge celebration that we were going to have to introduce the Missoula Community Foundation to its residents and change that into a fundraising event for the 9/11 disaster. And we raised about $30,000 that we sent off to the city of New York. We took a giant step backward from our fundraising efforts at that point in time, but it was for a very great cause. And it was what communities were all about. And it wasn't just our community. I mean, to think that we were doing something for a much larger metropolitan area in a time of dire need, and it was just wonderfully fulfilling for my wife, my daughter, and myself. How I think I became involved with the Community Foundation concept was in high school. I was a two-time loser. I lost the state wrestling championship twice. And the second time that I lost it, I was really a jerk. I'd worked 4 years to achieve a goal and failed. And a couple, 3 weeks after having lost the second time, I'm sitting at the breakfast table in Miles City, Montana, and my grandmother comes up and says, "You know, Butch, a girl from Plevna won the state beef cook-off." Well, my father looked over at her and said, "Oh, for crying out loud, Grandma, you cannot compare the state beef cook-off with the state wrestling championship." And bells and lights and whistles went off for me, because you can. It was very important to me that I try to win the state championship. It was devastating that I lost it, and it was absolutely as important to somebody who was in a beef cook-off that when they either won it or took second, I mean, their effort, their direction, it was important to them. And so at that point in time, I think that it was a huge, great moment. I am almost blessed by the second loss, because it allowed me to see through other people's eyes. And since then, I am very involved with the Community Foundation concept, because it allows people to get involved with what they're interested in, not what I'm interested in. Once you've seen one community foundation, you've seen one community foundation. All communities are different. And the way that ours is built in Missoula is we have an awful lot of, not competition, but an awful lot of nonprofits in our community that have their own directors, that have their own direction, that are out making their own asks, and are certainly things that we want to help in our community. If you're in Jordan, Montana, it's pretty easy for the community to get wrapped around the swimming pool. If you're in Roundup, Montana, and there's a disaster, it's pretty easy for the community foundation there to be the center of activity or the hub in that particular accident or disaster. In Missoula, we have government that takes care of disasters for the most part, but where we have so many organizations that need help but don't have the financial wherewithal to hire a planned giving director or person, we can provide that planned giving expertise to show people how they can not only give but give more. And we do it by helping those organizations talk to their donors about what's important to their donor, obviously, but also how to use tax deductions, the Montana Endowment Tax Credit, how they can really give more and get more bang for their buck long term. And maybe some of these people are going to be very interested in having their own family funds that continue on forever and ever to the benefit of those named organizations that are important, again, to them. We had a donor who we talked to in the middle 4 or 5 years of the Community Foundation who had a significant amount of assets but very low income. And so what we did with him was take the appreciated stock and we put it into what was called a charitable remainder trust. The individual lived off of the income from that trust, which was significantly higher than what he was getting prior to making the gift, for 3 or 4 years, and then unfortunately passed away. The gifts that he made were two: the Alliance for the Rocky Mountain West, the Humane Society, the Irish Studies Program, and he was kind enough to include the Missoula Community Foundation. But the point that I would really like to make is he increased his income, he made a great gift, he got great tax deductions, but who could come up with those four? He loved animals, he loved the outdoors, he had dual citizenship in Ireland, and he appreciated his community. It was just a wonderful example of how we can work with individuals to do well by their community.
While Dale Wolheiser is focused on financial planning, another board member, Janie Spencer, is involved with supporting individuals by connecting them to educational resources, including Willapalooza, an event that helps people with estate planning.
In my professional life, I'm a program director at the School of Extended and Lifelong Learning at the university. And we wanted to develop a series of programs led by experts in our community for adults who are transitioning to a new stage of life or experiencing a major challenge, be it a job change, getting ready for retirement, experiencing a loss in their lives, or adding a new member to their family, some kind of a crossroad. And I started talking to people in the community about this concept, finding out what kind of offerings they would want to see. And people were very interested in the idea of building resiliency, to have the capacity to cope with difficulties and setbacks and adversity in our lives, kind of lean into the tough times and practice gratitude. These things were appealing to people, as well as yoga and exploring our creativity through writing and artistic expression, those kinds of things that offer you support and fun when you're going through a tough time. And so that was a natural fit for us to think connecting with the abundance of talent in our community and partnering to offer these kinds of programs. So as we were exploring this practical side of things, one of the topics that kept coming up was estate planning. And how do you get started with estate planning? And that's how I became connected to the Missoula Community Foundation. I'd never been on a board before, but I just felt so comfortable there, and our missions were so aligned that I became a board member. And we're planning our next Willapalooza event coming up on April 16th. We're going to add an expressive component to that event and give participants an opportunity to answer the question, how would I like to be remembered? And they'll have an opportunity, if they would like, to write that down, and we'll take their picture and post those on the website and just continue that conversation about how to get this practical piece of business kind of taken care of so you can focus on how you want to live the rest of your life. When you come into the event, it's held at the Missoula Children's Theater, and we've got several estate planning attorney groups who will be just like little kitchen table conversations. We have tables set up and we have some light hors d'oeuvres, and you can bring your questions about how to get started to that event and just sit down with an attorney and just in a very educational way, ask those questions, just get started. And Compassion and Choices will be there to answer questions about advance directives. And you can just get rolling with estate planning and finding out how to get started and how to leave a legacy for your family and for your community.
A link to information about Willapalooza is on our website. Go to mtpr.org and search for Community Foundations. As Lucy Smith, Stan Nicholson, Lee Bowman, and Dale Wolheiser have mentioned, endowment funds generate income that community foundations can use for local projects. Meredith Prince has more to say about that and what makes each community foundation unique when our program continues.
We have an endowment fund that we can give grants from to local nonprofits. And obviously, the more that we have in our endowment, the more that we can give out to our very deserving nonprofits. For example, a community of a similar size, Fargo, North Dakota, they have a community foundation that's been around for about 30 years, and they have $50 million in their endowment. So with a 5% or so payout per year, you know, just think about what they are doing in their community and what we can do here. Build a new Poverello, we can save a mountain, we can build a trail, we can do whatever it is we need to do. So we just need to inspire people to make that investment in our local community by hopefully, you know, giving to the Missoula Community Foundation Endowment. And as Janie, one of our wonderful new board members, has demonstrated, you know, anyone that wants to be part of the community foundation, has a passion to serve, can help to say where those funds go. I mean, that's the idea, is that the funds are raised locally and spent locally by local people according to those changing needs of the community. So one of our new exciting programs that we're working on is the Missoula Project for Nonprofit Excellence. What we believe here at the Missoula Community Foundation is that stronger nonprofits equal a stronger community. So anything that we can do to help strengthen our local nonprofits, we know that we're going to help strengthen our community. And so this is a program that is unique. It is not being offered anywhere else in our community, and it's a really deep dive for an organization. So we have a lot of wonderful resources. We have workshops and seminars and whatnot, but we don't have a lot of, you know, deep capacity building programs. And so we will be able to work with two organizations this year, and I am very pleased to announce that we have selected our grantees for the 2014 cycle. The first one is the Poverello Center. They are moving into a new building soon, and now is a really important, critical time in their organization, and they can really use the help, the consulting services. And so we're very happy to be able to help them move to the next level and become an even stronger organization. We know they provide such important services to our community. And on a little bit more of the arts and culture side, the International Wildlife Film Festival, Roxy, is going to be our other awardee. They have had a new executive director for about a year, so not quite so new. But we all know the film festival is such an important part of the community, and the Roxy is being revitalized as one of our important community theaters. So we're happy to help them to become even stronger and move forward. Another really exciting event that we have coming up is Give Local Missoula Day. It's kind of like a giving holiday. coming up on May 6th. It's a 24-hour online giving event. This is actually part of a national day of giving called Give Local America. So Missoula will be one of about 100 communities across the nation that will be motivating their citizens to give to their favorite local nonprofits. And there's going to be a local matching pool of $10,000, as well as some national matching funds. And so we can try to give as much as we can here in Missoula so that we can compete with these other cities and get some national funds. I'm expecting 50 to 60 nonprofits to sign up. And if people go to givelocalmissoula.org, they can see what nonprofits are signed up. And you can give to multiple nonprofits on this one day with one transaction, which is really convenient. So the minimum donation is $10. Something that's really important to us is to promote the idea that everyone can be a philanthropist, and it's not just people that have a lot of money. But if everybody gives $10 to an organization, just imagine how much money will be given and how much good can be done with that money. One thing that we can do as a community foundation is we can incubate new projects and ideas through fiscal sponsorship. So while an organization is applying for their nonprofit status, we can provide the tax deductibility to donors. And of course, we make sure that the charitable activities that are done by these organizations, that the donors' wishes are being carried out. But we've got some really fun fiscal sponsorships going on at this point. One of them is with the Missoula Mud Dogs. It's a baseball team. A bunch of 12-year-olds are going to get to play at the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York in August. They've been raising the funds, and we've been collecting the funds and writing the thank you letters and dispersing the funds. And while they're in New York, they get to go to a Yankees game and to shag balls in Yankee Stadium. And this is a dream that we're helping to make come true for these kids.
Everyone I talked with was really passionate about community foundations, and I think we could spend days talking about their impressive projects. But we're almost out of time, so let's end by hearing how the community foundation idea began.
2014 is kind of a big year for community foundations. It's the 100th anniversary of the first community foundation that got started in Cleveland, Ohio, by Frederick H. Goff, who was an attorney for the Rockefeller family. And I think at that time, the family was moving from Cleveland to New York, so these funds were leaving Cleveland. And he got the idea that communities could build their own assets for the future. And so he started the Cleveland Foundation, and today they have about $1.9 billion in assets. So to think about a 5% payout per year, you know, the amazing work that can be done in Cleveland. And so this idea spread throughout the country and the world. And today we have about 750 community foundations in the U.S., almost 1,700 worldwide, and we have almost 76 in Montana. And we all exist to benefit our community, depending on what the need of that community is. For example, in eastern Montana, there's a community foundation called FAIR. It's Forsyth, Angela, Ingemar, and Rosebud. And they had actually five post offices that were in danger of being closed. And they were able to get the Postmaster General to visit their post offices. And it was the only post offices that he even visited. And they were able to save the post offices. That was what was important in their community. We work on issues that are important to our community, but that's the beauty of community foundations, is that we're all very unique.
In addition to individual community foundations, there's a Montana Community Foundation whose mission is to expand endowed philanthropy and build stronger communities. So now you know, from chipper shredders to Willapalooza to dragon boat races to free skis for kids, community foundations are working behind the scenes to improve the quality of Montana towns and cities. And since there are more than 76 community foundations in our state, there's probably one near you. This program was produced for Montana Public Radio by me, Cherie Newman, with help from Meredith Prince and Janie Spencer. Stella Rondo wrote and performed the music. If you want more information about what you've heard or you'd like to listen again, go to our website, mtpr.org, and type Community Foundations in the search box. Thanks to Lucy Smith, Lee Bowman, Stan Nicholson, Meredith Prince, Dale Wolheiser, and Janie Spencer for sharing their enthusiasm for Montana's community foundations. We'll leave you with one last thought from Lucy Smith.
We become that dragon boat. We are that convening organization that can bring together all of those different energies and resources and wills to do well for the community and appreciation for this community. And we're the ones who get to be helping bring everyone together and move forward. It's a metaphor for communities being able to celebrate what is healthy and wholesome and beautiful about them. It is a metaphor for jumping into the boat, and everyone is important. You cannot make a dragon boat go fast if somebody is trying to upstage someone else, because this is about being in sync. It's about leaning forward together. It's about cheering each other on. It's about staying with it. So that really is so much of what communities do. You know, when we jump in the boat together, when we all know that the next person is every bit as important as I am, we are a much stronger community.